Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurelia Metals Limited June Quarter Activities Report. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key or the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bryan Quinn, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ashley. Good morning and thanks for joining us for the Aurelia Metals fourth quarter investor update. With me today on the call, I have Martin Cummings, the Chief Financial Officer, and Andrew Graham, the Chief Technical and Business Development Officer. Today, I'm very pleased to provide a short summary of the quarter four results, which reflect our continued focus to safely grow our business, before handing over to my colleagues to talk through some more information on the slides that we've sent out as part of the pack. I will refer to the slides as we move through the presentation today for ease of all the listeners. Look, the key messages for Aurelia Metals that I would like to highlight is that Aurelia has delivered very strong results in FY25, and we'll talk about the quarter today in particular, and especially in line with our guidance metrics that we put out for the start of the year through the end of the year. I'm actually really proud of the work the team's completed to really place Aurelia in a position where we've been able to fund our growth and build our company to create cash and value for our shareholders. I just want to acknowledge the forward-looking statements on slide two, and then I'm going to move on to slide three. So let me start by firstly talking about the highlights, but before I do, it's really important, we'll talk about this in more detail, but we've really continued to improve our safety performance in FY25 from the previous year. We've achieved guidance across all commodities and cost items for the full financial year, and we've delivered our growth portfolio in line with our plans to really focus on achieving 40,000 copper equivalent tonnes in the future. Federation's been ramping up with our metres being a little bit ahead of plan, and our volumes have delivered in line with our targets in FY25. Plus, we've actually done a lot of work to get internal approvals completed and the preparation work done for Great Cobar in FY25, the last quarter, to be able to kick off in FY26 as we've committed to the market. We've continued to focus on improving our development performance at Peak, and in this quarter we exceeded 1,000 metres for the quarter. This is a target we've set internally to really ramp up our performance to set ourselves up for success in the future. And importantly, we delivered $110 million of cash balance at the end of the year also, and we haven't drawn out any debt while funding our growth plans. So overall, like I said, a really strong year, and it really reaffirms that we have a team that's committed to executing our short and medium-term strategy, which is creating value for shareholders, and we'll continue to respond with agility to the evolving market conditions. Across multiple metrics, the teams, I just want to go to slide four for a slide on guidance. Across the multiple metrics, the team have been successful in achieving guidance. Some key call-outs, obviously in gold was really strong in quarter three, and we highlighted that to the market. And in line with our mining plan sequence for the full year, base metals has come home stronger the last quarter, particularly zinc and lead, to bring the full year results home. Costs were lower on the lower end of guidance for the full year. There's still a large program of work underway to improve costs, of which we've introduced a third party to assist in FY26 with improving mining and maintenance costs, which will be followed by admin and other costs in the back end of the year. Teams are really already working on this, but the extra horsepower they bring a third party in will definitely help bring the actual results quicker. And most of our management, as you well appreciate, are very busy just delivering the plans. So this extra horsepower will be assisting them to deliver the improvements. Growth capex was a little bit lower than midpoint, but obviously some of the development activities that we still are required from Federation will fall into sustained capex in FY26. But overall, the Federation project will be within the budget approved by the board. The lower spend actually in growth capex is also attributable to the fact that in the last quarter, our main focus has been to demobilise the project team, finish the workshop build on site, and really put our attention just on development meters and infill drilling spend. Otherwise, most of the other activities are now completed, and there's some work obviously in FY26 that we've accrued for in the overall budget still to do with road intersections. Lastly, we did not provide information on guidance for the all-in sustaining costs, as we are in a transition, as we reported before, from a gold measurement to a base metals measurement in the future. But it's important, you know, $2,037 per ounce is still a very good story and shows a strong result, and actually is very much in line with our FY24 result. And considering the inflationary pressures and the amount of work we're doing on site to build our business, that's a good result by the team. But like I said, we've still got a long way to go to improve this going forward. I'll just move on to slide five. Safety and sustainability and environment are very much a key drive for us. You'll notice there's been a good trend in the right direction to improve our all-in sustaining total recordable injury frequency rate and also our recordable environmental incident frequency rate. I'd really like to congratulate the team for the improvements in the trend, the overall rates. This has been a great outcome. The focus for the 12 months, and in particular the last quarter, we've really been working with our supervisors and leaders to be in the field, including myself and the other executives, which is just paramount to helping ensure that we really have the right focus on safety for our people and care for our people. We've placed a large focus over the last quarter on completing risk management, deep dives on high residual risk items on the register, and also had team members working on refreshing our fatal risk protocols for the company and rolling them out on a soft launch. This has been a significant piece of work and sets up the business for the future to be more looking around the corner at what can go wrong, identify the controls that can proactively prevent something happening and minimise the impacts, which provides a much more sustainable and reliable business in the future. This year's results are particularly important as the trend shows that even though we were closing Dargues at the start of the financial year, and this has its own level of complexity and complications when it comes to people management and focus, we've also been ramping up Federation and bringing more people on to set up Great Cobar Project. So a lot of activity happening within Aurelia, and the management's been really able to focus on making sure people come to work and go home safely. I'll just move on to slide six. I want to talk about Peak. Obviously, Peak productivity improvements still remain a key focus for us. Over the quarter, we've seen a nice improvement in development metres from our jumbo fleet. There's been improvements in availability at the second half of the quarter, and we're working hard on operator recruitment and availability in the second half of the quarter also. Some of the highlights include record metres in June since the really recommenced owner-operator, and we achieved actually in the last month 397 metres for the month. There's still lots of room to improve through getting our utilisation of our equipment up to the right sort of number of hours and the rate achieving good rates. But irrespective, the quarter still finished at 104.1 metres per quarter, which was in line with our ramp-up profile that we've had, we discussed in previous quarters. Cost per tonne, we're $140 a tonne. Still lots of work underway to improve this through operator availability being a core focus. But we did have some good wins through the quarter with some of the new approaches to mining, reducing dilution tonnages, with some of the stopes improved recovery of around 10%, which also prevents hauling low-grade rock to the mill and helps improve the overall mill recoveries also. Speaking of mill recoveries, you'll also note that we've also had some continued good focus and good results on our zinc recovery, which is very important considering as we ramp up ore from Federation, obviously zinc's going to play a large part of that processing requirement, and getting good recoveries means we're not leaving money on the table. Still a lot of work underway in recoveries, and the team's doing a great job on that. The mills continue to perform well, and this is important going forward as we continue now pushing the mill to ramp up to full capacity in FY26. Obviously, we'll have the volumes out of the Peak South Mine and the new Cobar side of the mine happening, and we'll also have the Federation tonnes coming into the mill. So it's going to be a large amount of work focusing on bringing these volumes into the mill and maximising output. On a separate note, as I mentioned earlier, we've brought a third party in to really accelerate building our systems and processes so we can improve our productivity through our mine operating system, and we've put a laser focus on recruiting all the people we need to ramp up the operations. and really focused on employing people aligned with our values of the company. We'll move on to slide 7, Federation. Look, the key message there, development for the year was slightly above budget, which is a good outcome as we continue to ramp up the tonnes associated that we need to develop it for. So we achieved 1134 metres for the quarter. We introduced a second jumbo into the mine in this last half. It's still being ramped up. It's not on full utilisation for development. As we sort of open the mine up, it'll be on full utilisation. Our focus for the quarter has really been highlighted in previous periods, which is really making sure we push the decline down, get the infill drilling ahead of our production areas to understand the ore body better and set up mining to be as efficient and productive as possible. So really, at this phase, we've still been focusing on decline metres, infill drilling, in comparison to try and ramp up tonnes faster. This trade-off will remain flexible into FY26 as we look at as we build the mine and look at the opportunity we have. Key point, the production was in line with the plan of 106,000 tonnes for the full year, and actually 54,000 of that was actually processed in this last quarter, which is a good outcome. Just on Federation, we did spend $66.4 million for the full year. That's in line with our guidance numbers. However, some of the spend from FY25 will be spent moved into FY26 as sustaining capital. But like I said, that's all still within our overall board-approved budget that we've reported. I'll just move on to slide 8. The Great Cobar project is underway. So we mentioned last quarter that we were basically kicking off doing the preparation work once we had approval from the board in quarter 4 of FY25. That's actually progressed quite well. We now have a crew as of the first week of July with a jumbo loader and truck all being delivered to site. We've been working on establishing the services. A large focus in the 3 months leading up to July has been recruiting in line with the values as discussed, and really looking at how we start Great Cobar on the right foot as an owner-operator sort of process. We've got obviously just over 2 kilometres to develop an FY26, and our capital we've reported in line with our guidance is very much there to be spent to deliver the project. So all on track, very exciting opportunity as we sort of get ourselves moving towards tapping into this nice copper and gold in approximately 2 years. We have the owners team on board for the project, working with the mining team to ensure we progress its development, and we'll obviously report back on a quarterly basis as the project commences and as the project progresses. But importantly, as I said, the people and the equipment are on the job, and now it's about getting the job underway in line with the project. Look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over to Andrew, who's been actively working on the studies for the Peak Plant project, which is on slide 9. He'll cover that and the exploration slide, and then he'll hand it over to Martin for the following slide. Over to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Brian. Because Brian's mentioned, we'll touch firstly on studies and projects. And there's a photo included there on slide 9 of the thickener being constructed in Vietnam. It's a TACRAF thickener, so their Delcor brand. And really just important to flag that construction of the thickener, which is critical path to the tailings and water management project for the processing plant, is on target, on schedule, which is good. In some areas we're ahead of schedule, but, you know, working on the basis that that will be delivered on time, which is great for that first project. The other two studies will go to the board imminently. They've been completed for the tertiary ball mill project and also the materials handling project for the plant. As flagged at Investor Day, but also before, you know, we previously guided that range of 20 to 25 million for those two projects. It'll come in substantially under that, which is great, and really just highlights the fact that the plant expansion that we're talking about is really very, very capital efficient, using all the latent capacity that we already have within that excellent Peak processing plant. A key milestone for us for the quarter was the permit application has been made to the Cobar Shire Council to take that plant capacity up to 1.2 million tonnes. Now, we don't expect there to be any issues in that permit. It's a very fairly low touch kind of expansion. It's all within the footprint that's already permitted. There's a few, as we touched on previously, a few very targeted pieces of equipment. So great that that's in process now formally with the Shire Council, who is our permitting authority. Flipping over the page then into slide 10, just on exploration. And in reality, I probably could have led with any one of a number of photos in this one. And I actually think of Todd McGilvray, our exploration group manager, who made the comment to me previously that we've had a very good quarter. And we certainly have. Two releases have gone out to the market, which you will have seen. Both in relation to Nymagee District, one highlighting some Federation West drilling particularly, and also then highlighting Nymagee drilling itself. So the photo I ended up running with in the pack here is that of Nymagee. This is some of the drilling we were doing at Nymagee Main. It's very, very good copper mineralisation, which you'll see in the photo, but also in the intercept it's listed on there, you know, 5 odd metres at 3% copper, excellent in anyone's language, but also importantly further down that same hole, substantial lead and zinc, you know, combined in excess of 15% lead plus zinc. So getting some very, very good results there for Nymagee. We also through the quarter got the results back from a downhole electromagnetic survey that we did on that Nymagee Main area, which has given us some very interesting targets to follow up. At the moment, as I speak, we've got drill rigs working at Nymagee North, which is several hundred metres further north than the drilling I was just talking about. We'll continue to drill there for the next little while, and then the intent is to move the surface rig back down onto Nymagee Main and test some of those deeper targets. Look, as I mentioned, could have equally showcased Federation West. Some very, very strong results through the quarter there. We've actually taken the rig off Fed West at the end of the quarter. The second rig there working at Nymagee before it goes to Peak. But and part of the reason we've done that is really to allow the geology team there at Federation to think a bit about what the drilling means that we've seen and plan the program for FY26. That's all I'll cover this morning. I'll just throw over now to Martin to talk about the balance sheet.
Thanks, Andrew. So turning to slide 11, and as you know, we pre-released our cash, but we finished with around $110 million for the year. Our loan note this quarter did amortise slightly down to $23.6 million US, but that really, with our cash, results in total liquidity now of over $145 million. So we're well set up to execute on these growth projects. For Peak, mine cash flow was lower this quarter at $14 million, with our higher base metal sales but lower gold sales. And as Brian mentioned, that was driven by our production mix. But pleasingly, operating costs were down 12% from the prior quarter, but we did have some higher sustaining capital for capital development in the South Mine, and we did make some of those maintenance investments in overhauling our mining fleet. But I guess it's really important to sit back and look at the fantastic year that Peak had. It generated $96 million of cash flow. Our growth capital, as Brian said, was lower at 15.2, with 10.8 for Federation. The commencement of our investment in Great Cobar was $4.3 million and $100,000 for Andrew's expansion studies. So that took our growth capital for the year to just under $72 million. And as you know, we guided $70 to $80 million for the year. Brian also mentioned that the project team's now demobilised with only minor surface works left to complete at site and our road intersection upgrades. And Andrew just touched on exploration. Their spend was a little bit lower this quarter at 3.8, but the overall spend for the year was right on the midpoint of guidance. Our corporate costs were lower this quarter, and we also did receive some proceeds from the sale of some biodiversity credits. So that resulted in the waterfall of a net inflow of $1 million across those two items. And the other item in there is a favourable working capital movement of around $11.6 million. Around $8.8 million of that was due to the timing of some year-end supply payments, which will unwind this quarter. We don't report finished goods in this chart, but it is also worth noting that we had around $3 million of unsold gold on hand at the end of the quarter, and we also had some concentrate produced that we weren't able to transport and get sales away by 30 June. So all in all across that, there shouldn't be any major impacts in the coming quarters. Our financing cash flows include some more cash backing with $3.8 million for Nymagee, and that does take our restricted cash balance now to around $18 million. I talked about this in the Investor Day, but I am looking at refinancing our performance bond facility this financial year, and that should enable that cash to be returned to us. And finally, our financing cash flows do include some of the leasing for the Great Cobar equipment. So in summary, our operating performance this year has enabled us to deliver all of our guidance metrics, and we finished the year with an incredibly strong balance sheet. Thanks for your time. I'll hand it back to you, Brian.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks, Andrew. Look, just on the last slide, you know, our focus remains very much on improving our margins, providing cash to strengthen the balance sheet, and growing our business portfolio in the copper and base metal space, as we've sort of highlighted in line with our strategy. But to be clear, our priorities don't seem to change much quarter on quarter. We'll continue to ensure our people come to work and go home safely every day. And as you've seen, we're making some good inroads there, but, you know, every day is a new day. We don't want to be complacent. We need to work hard at making sure that continues on, especially as we've got a lot of project work and a lot of new people joining the company. There is a laser focus on cash management for the growth journey, and we've proven we can generate cash to fund our growth in FY25, and we'll continue to have plans in place to improve our cash. Federation ramp-up and understanding the geology as we progress is important for our business, especially as we want to ramp up to our full capacity over the coming periods. Great Cobar will be the same focus as we have for Federation. We'll basically be managing that project and all the contingency allowances very tightly, and actively looking for opportunities to improve the cost of the project as we did for Federation. We're ramping up our focus on exploration opportunities in FY26. We're keen to build our portfolio of organic options earlier that will feed the future peak expansion that we're working on, and also look at what options we have for Hera restart in the medium term. Lastly, and most importantly, we're spending a lot of time looking to how to ensure our people have a good employee value proposition, relevant development and training. And we're recently looking at all those things in more detail and changed our actually bonus system to be quarterly focused instead of annual focus for the workforce. Importantly, as I described earlier, it's all about having the right people with the right mindset to live our values and deliver the performance we need for this business. And it will really make a difference for the company. So with that as it is, I'll hand it back to you, Ash, to move into questions from any of the people online, and then I'll wrap up after that. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question today comes from Adam Baker with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Morning, Brian and team. Firstly, just didn't see any commentary about Federation entering commercial production on the 1st of July. Just checking if this has still occurred.
Hi, Adam. Look, yeah, that's something we will assess. I think we were saying we made the assumption in our outlook that we would be commercial from 1 July. So as we step through towards the end of the month, we'll make that first assessment then that the mine's ramping up in line with the plan.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, good to see the uptick in zinc recoveries at 83%. Just wondering the drivers behind this, whether it's just purely the high grade that zinc ore going through the mills, or has there been any optimizations to the flow sheet? And second to this, do you think you'll be able to maintain these rates of recovery moving forward now that Federation's going to form part of the processing mix?
Yeah, good question. Look, I think we did have better grades coming through this quarter of zinc and lead coming out of the mines. We actually have worked actually recently on the filter press, filter at the back of the plant to improve also the throughput at the back end. So don't see why we can't continue to achieve the recoveries, if not improve the recoveries, as we sort of unlock this latent capacity we actually have in the plant. Obviously, the work Andrew's been doing on the optimisation of the plant, we'll continue to look at all the aspects of how we do it. But it's also important that, you know, if we can minimise dilution coming from the mines and make sure we're bringing the right ore to the mine, feeding it through the mill, that's going to make a big difference as well. Was there anything you want to add to that, Andrew, at all?
Yeah, Adam, I'll just flag. I think the team's been making better use of the regrind, which has been good. And the other bit that's going to come, which Brian just touched on, once the water management project comes through, which will be in the second half of the financial year, we should see an uptick in recovery just from getting cyanide water out of flotation, which is depressing our recoveries a little bit. So, yeah, I can't see any reason why it won't continue. Certainly the Federation ore has processed exactly as we had hoped through the feasibility study, which is awesome. But then as these other projects start to flow through, we should see improvement further.
Thanks, Dan. I'll hand it on.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Daniel Rodden with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
G'day, guys, and congratulations on the report. Just wanted to, availability or labour availability has kind of been flagged again as a bit of a, trouble in the quarter. So I understand the complexities of the, operating region, but, what's, can you provide a bit of commentary on, what you're doing around initiatives around availability? Federation has now done the rotating into Great Cobar, but, that labour force availability, is there any kind of updates on improvements there?
Yeah, good question. So Federation definitely hasn't been affected by that red path. The contracting partners down there have maintained the labour we need. I'll just bring it back to Peak. So we made some changes in this last quarter. We've moved to an operator both on the production drilling and also blast and charge. So effectively, we've moved to two out of those two contracts into owner-operator for both of those. So recruiting for those roles has been obviously part of the operator availability, and getting those people on board has been taking a bit longer than we'd hoped, obviously. And obviously, once people find out in their contracts they no longer have a role, they don't hang around for very long. So we've had a few gaps pop up in that change management. Those roles have been recruited for, if not recruited for already. It was just a period of time in that changeover process in this last quarter. In terms of Great Cobar, last I had reported to me that we had all the roles filled. We had a couple of extra operators starting, I think, last week to fill the last couple of roles. So, like I said, it's going to be an ongoing, issue in the industry as, people look for higher salaries and better opportunities where they can earn more money. But hopefully with the employee value proposition rollout we're doing this month, will that be able to settle that down and hopefully provide good outlook for people. As I mentioned, we've instigated a quarterly bonus now for the crews, which focuses on safety, metres and tonnages. And that will, I think, be really encouraging for people to feel they've got some control over, how they get a quarterly bonus for their output. So, yep, there was some change. There was some work we did during the quarter, which was probably caused a few of the operator availabilities from the change management side of things, but I think that the team's working well to recruit the right people, not just anyone as well, which takes a bit longer, obviously.
Yep, understood. Thank you. And probably just nitpicking a little bit, but on the trade credit unwinds next quarter, are you able to, define what level of unwind you're expecting into Q1 26? And is that kind of approaching a normalised working capital change? You had two or three quarters of working capital build. So I think the expectation is that it probably would, was going to unwind in Q1. But just trying to get a sense of, past that, next quarter, are we at a normalised run rate after that?
Yeah, Dan. So as I said in my notes, probably $8 million of that, you could have expected to be paid this quarter, but wasn't. We will go into, as Great Cobar ramps up, and Federation ramps up, in line with our spend outlook. I expect, our sort of trade creditors balance to probably lift a bit, but counter to that, as I said, we've got some unsold product, so I don't see it, from a cash perspective being significant, but I think ordinarily maybe a slight increase in working capital just given the higher level of spend this year. But I think around normal levels, where it's been tracking, it shouldn't be too huge, I guess is the answer.
Yep, no, understood. And final quick one just for me, I know probably just because you brought it up in your opening remarks, but I know we've spoken about it historically, but just the, mix of metals going forward, how are you thinking about changing, the reporting, going forward basis? Are you thinking about pivoting away from, gold equivalents and what would that change look like?
Yeah, I think we talked about that probably 12 months ago. As you can see, the all-in sustaining cost per gold ounce is, it's a bit volatile, just given the where there is higher grade gold coming through the production and where there isn't. I think ultimately a base metal per pound metric, as we transition towards that 40,000 copper equivalent tons milestone that we talked about at the Investor Day, we've transitioned to a cost metric that aligns to that production profile. So this obviously, and I know your report sort of does it a few different ways. There's a few ways we can construct that and how we treat byproducts, but a copper equivalent metric, per pound is kind of where my head's at right now.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
And probably just the other bit to add, Dan, is with all of the metals in the denominator, that will give you a smoother kind of profile than having the swings in byproducts.
Yep, no, agreed. I appreciate your responses, everyone. Thank you. I'll hand it over.
Thanks, Dan.
The next question comes from Paul Kaner with Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Brian, Martin and Andrew. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, just on Federation, obviously we got more commentary there on the ore body at the Investor Day. You've changed the mining method there and the upper levels given the change in the ore body knowledge. I know what you sort of do down deeper is largely predicated on more drilling, but what's the current mining method being assumed at depth? And is this different versus the previous feasibility study?
Yeah, look, thanks, Paul. The mining method that the guys have assumed is obviously once we receive the infill drilling information, they're obviously putting the shapes around that from a mining profiling point of view. And that'll be depending on the lenses and on the direction and on the location. And they will be sort of, stopes probably similar to what we're seeing. But like I said, once we have the drilling information and the block models sort of, updated with the result of that, at depth, as you called it, we'll be able to describe that probably in more detail. But the infill drilling really is defining, like I said, the upper areas has really helped us define, the most efficient and also best recovery of high-grade ore process. And as we go down, we'll obviously want to continue that. Obviously, we're very mindful. We don't want to obviously put tons out on the road that are lower grade that really, obviously cost us money and affect our recoveries. So the infill drilling will sort of, guide us in terms of how we set those block models up and also look at how we set up the shapes for the ore recovery. But right now, the assumption is more of the same based on the information we have for the next 2 years from the actual ore drilling we've done.
Yeah, so I guess in sort of FY28, for example, we've got zinc ticking up, you've got other commodities ticking up. I guess what's the mining method assumed for FY28 relative to 26 and 27?
Yeah, the original design have sort of the areas getting deeper, sort of broadening out. So the original assumptions have them broadening out into different, obviously bigger lenses. So obviously that would assume that we are going to get some obviously bigger stopes as well. in that mining method. But like I said, the FY28 outlook was kind of a view of the information we have, which hasn't been infill drilled or in any more detail than what was in the feasibility study. That's still the assumption. Once the infill work is done in FY26, that'll form what FY28 looks like in more detail. So the assumptions are still the same assumptions, Paul. Nothing's changed at this point in time until we get that work done.
Yeah, no, that's very clear. Thanks for that, Brian. And then just when should we expect the updated resource reserve? And then I guess within that, how much, I guess, extensional drilling has been done at Federation relative to infill? I guess what I'm trying to get at is just trying to figure out what if there's any potential mineral inventory additions or depletions that sort of come with that updated resource.
Yes, so we'll be releasing our MRAW later in second quarter of this year. So obviously the drilling's been done. We've actually now getting all the assays in over the coming months. The block models will be sort of formed up, and then we will obviously be doing the MRAW process along the lines of that. Andrew, is anything you want to add to that at all from a technical point of view?
Yeah, Paul, just the comment about infill or extensional. So within Federation itself, most of the work has been infill. But by default, that's in some areas become extensional in that we've gone under mineralisation that wasn't previously in the model. So, whether you can be definitive about saying it's infill or extensional, really it's infill drilling that's had some success. So, that will flow through into MRAW in October. We're looking through that process, we'll assess what, if any, of Federation West can also come into that inventory as well. So those two pieces for Federation are the focus for this year.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for that extra colour there, Andrew. No, that's it from me, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from Peter Gormandy with Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I just have another follow-up from Paul and Adam on Federation, and I'm just wondering if you can confirm what the geometry of the ore body looks like vertically.
Look, I think we've provided information at the Investor Day on the geometry as we've seen it so far based on the infill drilling and mapping, et cetera. I'm just not sure if you're looking for something additional to that, or Andrew, if I missed something in that question.
I just wondered if you had any further information on how that changing shape is looking from underground, or is that going to be in the resource and the reserve update in the...
Any additional information, like I said, the drilling, we've pounded a lot of metres in infill drilling to really get confidence in our numbers, and obviously that information is getting assayed and worked on in the coming months. So in terms of directional change of the ore body relative to what we've described, I don't have any new information at this point in time. Andrew, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, look, I'll just reiterate, Peter. I think through the FEAS, it was modelled as a east-northeast trending mineralisation. It was domained that way. What we're seeing as we're getting more detail, that 12.5-metre spacing infill, is really, it's still that east-northeast trending mineralisation, but within that there's a set of effectively sort of north-northeast oriented ore bodies. We're getting a really good handle on that now through infill. I think you mentioned a little bit about sort of vertical nature. It's still exactly as we've modelled, and we've got drilling, you know, all the way down through the ore body, so we didn't expect it to suddenly become flatter lying or an ugly angle or anything like that. So it's still kind of near vertical and you know, very easy from a mining perspective to be able to stope it.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thanks for taking the question.
Thanks, Peter.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Next question comes from Thompson, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Apologies, we'll go to your next question. This is from Ashley Chan, a private investor.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Brian. thank you very much again. Well done on another report, and thank you for taking my question. I guess I have the standard question on hedging. Now that you're sort of ramping up, you've got over $100 million in cash and expenditure from your investor presentation of about $55-ish million through the year. Are you expecting that you will for full year, with your existing hedge program, as you ramp up successfully and have $100 million cash in the bank, that you'll just let your hedges expire? And then the second question I had was, I noticed for this quarter, the only new hedging you did was gold hedging, but when we look at which now comes almost to 20,000 ounces, which is about more half of the gold production. But I'm just querying about the mix of hedging. Why are you always hedging gold and compared to, say, copper, where copper is relatively unhedged? I think you only have 620 metric tons of hedging, 4,000 tons for lead and 5,000 for zinc, but predominant hedging via gold rather than being weighted equally among gold, zinc, lead and copper as per the production profile for FY26.
Hi, Ashley, Martin here. So I'll go to the first question. So you're right, as we go through the capital spend this year, I am just looking at hedging still as a bit of insurance as we go through this process. So the strategy hasn't changed from before. We only have hedging on out to June at this stage, but as you'll know from the outlook, we do still have a decent amount of capital to spend in FY27. So we constantly look at our hedging levels. We run sensitivities to spot prices, to our internal prices, and make an assessment there. So strategy hasn't changed, but for now, no hedging on for that period. On the second one, in terms of the relativities, it's probably just more a point in time when the report was cut. We do look at hedging across the board in base metals and in gold. We also look at hedging lines available. We did do a little bit of hedging 6,000 ounces in the back end of the quarter. And we are still looking at lead, zinc and copper as well, just to balance it out, because I don't want to go too heavy on one metal, as you pointed out. So it's probably just a point in time assessment rather than a change in strategy to target gold.
Excellent. Thanks, Martin. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Ash.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Quinn for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley, and thanks everyone for joining us today for the fourth quarter report back. Just want to thank our shareholders and employees for their continued support. Obviously, we are in a state where we're trying to create a business for the future in base metals and obviously taking advantage of using our gold to fund us to get there as well as the base metals. The business has a lot of potential, and this will be delivered through our people and supported in line with our long-term growth story, hopefully. We'll aim to exceed expectations on generation of value and cash whenever we can, and the entire management team is focused on that as we speak to try and make sure that we set FY26 up for success and deliver our plans and the guidance numbers we've given the market. So thank you very much for attending, and we look forward to the full year presentation to the market in late August. Appreciate that everyone called in today. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.